in rain. When the hurly-burly's done. When the battle's lost and won.
That will be ever set of sun.
Where the place upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth.
I come, Grimalkin. And of course...
Anon. Harbour through the fog and filthy air.
What bloody man is that? He can report as seemeth by his plight. Of the revolt, the newest stake.
This is the sergeant who, like a good and hardy soldier, fought against my captivity. Hail, brave friend. Say to the king the knowledge of the broil as thou didst leave it.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. The merciless MacDonald, worthy to be a rebel, for to that the multiplying villainies of nature do swarm upon him. From the western isles of Kearns and Gallowglasses is supplied. And fortune, on his damned quarrel smiling, showed like a rebel's whore. Too weak for brave Macbeth, and well he deserves that name, disdaining fortune with his brandished steel, which smoked with bloody execution like valor's minion, carved out his passage till he faced the slave, which ne'er shook hands nor bade farewell to him till he unseamed him from the knave to the chaps and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Oh, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
As whence the sun gins his reflection, shipwrecking storms and direful thunders break, so from that spring whence comfort seemed to come, discomfort swells. Mark, King of Scotland, mark. No sooner justice had with valor armed compelled these skipping kerns to trust their heels than the Norwegian lord, surveying vantage, with furbished arms and new supplies of men, began a fresh assault.
Dismayed not this our captains, Macbeth and Banquo?
Yes. As sparrows, eagles, or the hare, the lion. If I say sooth, I must report they were as cannons overcharged with double cracks. So they doubly redoubled strokes upon the foe, except they meant to bathe in reeking wounds or memorize another Golgotha, I cannot tell. Oh, I'm faint. My gashes cry for help.
So well thy words become thee as thy wounds. They smack of honor both. Go get him, surgeons. Who comes here?
The worthy Thane of Ross.
What a haste looks from his eyes. So should he look that seems to speak things strange.
God save the king.
Whence camest thou, worthy Thane?
From Fife, great king, where the Norwegian banners flout the sky and fan our people cold. Norway himself, with terrible numbers, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor, began a dismal conflict, till that Bellona's bridegroom, lapped in proof, confronted him with self-comparisons, point against point, rebellious arm against arm, curbing his lavish spirit, and to conclude, the victory fell on us.
Great heavens!
That now Sweno, the Norway's king, craves composition. Nor will we deign him burial of his men till he disperse it at St. Colme's Inch, $10,000 to our general use.
No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death, and with his former title, greet Macbeth.
I'll see it done.
What he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won.
Where hast thou been, sister?
Killing swine.
Sister, where thou?
A sailor's wife had chestnuts in her lap and mounched and mounched and mounched. Give me, quoth I. Aright thee, witch,
the rump-fed Runyon cries. Her husband's to Aleppo gone, master of the tiger. But in a sieve I'll thither sail, and like a rat without a tail, I'll do, and I'll do.
I'll give thee a wind.
Thou kind.
And I another.
I myself have all the other. And the very ports they blow, all the quarters that they know in the shipman's card. I'll drain him dry as hay. Sleep shall neither night nor day hang upon his penthouse lid. He shall live a man forbid. Weary 7 nights, 9 times 9 shall he dwindle, peak, and pine. Though his bark cannot be lost, yet it shall be tempest-tossed. Look what I have.
Show me, show me.
Here I have a pilot's thumb, wrecked as homeward he did come.
A drum, a drum. Macbeth doth come.
The weird sisters, hand in hand.
Posters of the sea and land.
Thus do go about, about. Thrice to thine,
and thrice to mine.
And thrice again to make up nine. Peace! The charm wound up.
So foul. And fair a day I have not seen.
How far is called to far is?
Keep!
What are these? So withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the earth, and yet are on it. Live you? Or are you aught that man may question? You seem to understand me by each at once, a choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so.
And speak, if you can. What are you?
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glamis.
All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor.
All hail, Macbeth. That shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner you greet with present grace and great prediction of noble having and a royal hope that he seems rapt withal. To me you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grain will grow and which will not, speak then to me, who neither beg nor fear your favors nor your hate.
Hail.
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 Lesser than Macbeth and greater.
Not so happy, yet much happier.
Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none. So all hail Macbeth and Banquo.
Banquo and Macbeth. All hail.
Hey, stay!
You imperfect speakers. Tell me more.
By Sinel's death, I know I am Thane of Glamis, but how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives a prosperous gentleman, and to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor. Say from whence you owe this strange intelligence, or why, upon this blasted heath, you stop our way with such prophetic greeting. Speak, speak! I charge you!
The earth hath bubbles as the water has.
And these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air. And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind.
Would they had stayed?
Were such things here as we do speak about, or have we eaten on the insane route that takes the reason prisoner?
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king!
And Thane of Cawdor too, and in so?
To the self same tune at words.
What's there?
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success. And when he reads thy personal venture in the rebels' fight, his wonders and his praises do contend which shall be thine or his. Silenced with that, and viewing all the rest of the selfsame day, he finds thee in the stout Norwegian ranks. Nothing afeard of what thyself did make. Strange images of death. As thick as tail came post with post, and every one did bear thy praises in his kingdom's great defense, and poured them down before him.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks, only to herald thee into his sight, not pay thee.
And for an earnest of a greater honor, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor. In which addition, hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
What can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes?
Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. Whether he was combined with those of Norway, or did line the rebel with hidden help and vantage, or that with both he labored in his country's wreck, I know not. But treasons, capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Glamis, and Thane of Cawdor. The greatest is behind.
Thanks for your pains. Do you not hope your children shall be kings? When those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them.
That trusted home might yet enkindle you into the crown, besides the Thane of Cawdor. But 'tis strange. And oftentimes to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths. Win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence.
Cousins, a word, I pray.
Two truths are told as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme. This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill, cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success commencing in a truth? I am Thane of Cawdor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes so my single state of man that function is smothered in surmise and nothing is. But what is not?
Look, our partner's wrapped.
If chance will have me king, why, chance may crown me without my stir.
New honors come upon him like our strange garments, cleave not to their mold, but with the aid of use.
Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Give me your favor. My dull brain was wrought with things forgotten. Kind gentlemen, your pains are registered where every day I turn the leaf to read them. Let us toward the king.
Think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free hearts each to other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough.
Come, friends.
Is execution done on Cawdor? Are not those in commission yet returned?
My liege, they are not yet come back.
But I have spoke with one that saw him die, who did report that very frankly he confessed his treasons, implored your highness' pardon, and set forth a deep repentance. Nothing in his life became him like the leaving it. He died as one that had been studied in his death, to throw away the dearest thing he owed, as 'twere a careless trifle.
There is no art to find the mask's construction in the face. He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust. Oh, worthiest cousin! The sin of my ingratitude even now was heavy on me. Thou art so far before, that swiftest wing of recompense is slow to overtake thee. Would thou hadst less deserved, that the proportion both of thanks and payment might have been mine. Only I have left to say, more is thy due than more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe, in doing it, pays itself. Your highness part is to receive our duties,
and our duties are to your throne and state, children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honor.
Welcome hither. I have begun to plant thee, and will labor to make thee full of growing. Noble Banquo, that hast no less deserved, nor must be known no less to have done so, let me enfold thee and hold thee to my heart.
Fair, if I grow, the harvest is your own.
My plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen thanes, and you whose places are the nearest, know we will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland, which honor must not unaccompanied invest him only, but signs of nobleness, like stars, shall shine on all deservers. From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
I'll be myself the harbinger, and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So, humbly, take my leave.
My worthy Cawdor.
Prince of Cumberland. That is a step on which I must fall down. Or else, or leap. For in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand. Yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
True, worthy Banquo. He is full, so valiant. And in his commendation I am fed. It is a banquet to me. Let's after him whose care is gone before to bid us welcome. It is a peerless kinsman.
They met me in the day of success. And I have learned, by the perfectest report, they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood rapt in the wonder of it, came missives from the king, who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me, and referred me to the coming on of time with Hail, King, that shalt be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightest not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart, and farewell. Glamis, thou art. And Cawdor. And shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Oh, thou'dst have, great Glamis, that which cries, thus thou must do if thou have it, and that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishest should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirit in thine ear and chastise with the valor of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou art mad to say it. Is not thy master with him? Who, what so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true. Our Thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him, who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news. The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come. You spirits that tend on mortal thoughts. Unsex me here. And fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood. Stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gore, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pour thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold. Great Glamis, worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all-hail hereafter, thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love.
Duncan comes here tonight.
When goes hence?
Tomorrow. As he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my thing, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for. And you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall, to all our nights and days to come, give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favor ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
This castle hath a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses.
This guest of supper, the temple-haunting martlet, does approve by his loved mansionary that the heaven's breath smells wooingly here. No jutty, frieze, buttress, nor coign of vantage, but this bird has made her pendant bed and procreant cradle. Where they must breed and haunt, I have observed, the air is delicate.
See! See, our honored hostess. The love that follows us, sometimes is our trouble, which still we thank as love. Herein I teach you how you shall bid God yield us for your pains and thank us for your trouble.
All our service and every point twice done and then done double. Were poor and single business to contend against those honors deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities heaped up to them, we rest your hermits.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? We caught him at the heels and had a purpose to be his purveyor, but he rides well. And his great love, sharp as his spur, hath holp him to his home before us. Fair and noble hostess, we are your guest tonight. Give me your hand. Conduct me to mine host. We love him highly and shall continue our graces to all.
The ingredients of our poison chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed. Then, as his host who should gainst his murderer, shut the door, not bear the knife myself. Besides, as Duncan hath borne his faculties, so meek hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation of his taking up. And pity, like a naked newborn babe striding the blast, or heaven's cherub in horse upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent. Only vaulting ambition, which o'erleaps itself and falls at the other side. And...
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Hath he asked for me?
No, you're not. He has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which would be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Hath it slept since? And wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time, such I account thy love. Art thou afeard to be the same in thine own act and valor as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon outward like the poor cat in the adage?
Peace! I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you are a man. And to be more than what you were, you would be so much more the man. Nor time, nor place did then adhere. Yet you would make both. They have made themselves, and that their fitness now does unmake you. tender tears to love the babe that milks me. I would, while it was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed the brains out, had I so sworn as you have done to this. We fail. But screw your courage to the sticking place, and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his day's hard journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I, with wine and wassail, so convince that memory, the water of the brain, shall be a fume, and the receipt of reason a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep their trenchant natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers? Who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children, only. For thine undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber and used their very daggers, that they have done it?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamor roar upon his death?
And settle and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth not.